Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Soulful Solutions. We're Dr. Debbie Green and my wonderful host here, Naima Latif, our executive producer. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, a great day. I'm telling you, February is just ticking along, isn't it?
Yes,
it's amazing.
Yes, it is.
It's like, you know, this is really the shortest month, you know, that we have. So I guess we better just go ahead and say, because it'll be gone.
It'll be gone in a moment. Yes.
Yes.
Blinking is over.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we got a great topic today. It's something that, you know, our world, our community, our society is definitely dealing with. And it's been an ongoing thing. This is not something new. But I just don't think there's enough focus on it, you know. So our particular topic is talking about the male involvement in domestic violence, the male involvement in domestic violence. And as I did my research, Naima, and I found out that, you know, nationwide we have increased since 2020, the latest is 25% to 35%. In domestic violence.
Wow.
And that's very high.
That's high. That's
very high. and domestic violence. And we know that, you know, when we were on lockdown in 2020, if there was any domestic, you know, disputes that were at home, that means that you couldn't, my goodness, you just couldn't get out. You couldn't get out. You couldn't get resources. It was, you know, I don't know how the police involvement at that time, but I do know the courts were shut down.
Yeah.
So if you had to put any restraining orders on individuals, it was slow process. It was like nearly none. So a lot of the activity from 2020 up till this point, as I was looking, it was a lot of in-home domestic violence, killings, murders that were done in-home mainly. And it was, again, our society wasn't even prepared for anything of this sort. It was not. You know, people that had mental illness such as depression, that was also, you know, dealing with domestic violence, because that's one of the factors of domestic violence is mental illness. If you were shut down in your home, and here we go, you feel like the walls are closing in on you, you didn't get any type of help, no resources, zero resources. So, of course, it affects our children, because it just kind of, whatever starts in the head, it goes all the way down. So, you know, I believe that a male or even a female, you know, if there's a family, let me go back to the family unit. The family unit, if there's a man, woman, and child at home, the man should have full responsibility to take care of that family and to treat that family with utmost respect and dignity. So the question is, how did we lose? How did we drop the ball? What happened? What happened in our fabric of our society where this domestic abuse just got so, you know, systemic to the point where it's not an epidemic. It's an epidemic in itself, you know. We hear it all the time. Every time you turn your news on, someone has died from the hands of someone that's in a family. You know, whether it's, you know, a brother killing a sister, children are killing children, or you know, a spouse is killing their spouse and their children. I mean, it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic. And, you know, what can we do as a society? You know, I believe in educating. You know, when you educate someone about what they're dealing with, of how to handle things, then it will be a greater outcome, because the thing about it is most people get stuck in their head. They don't understand that they can change, you know. We know that with any type of volatile behavior comes from core values, which is how a person is reared, you know, in their families. How they're reared in their families. And wherever they might have saw another person, hurt another person by words, by gestures, by actions, and that takes on what they call building a habit in a child. It builds a habit of how to respond to pain, how to respond to anger, you know. So it is, again, systemic. It's systemic. And it goes in all areas. It covers schools. It covers churches. There's no place that you would not see domestic violence.
Yes. Well, you know, we had an interesting conversation yesterday. We talked about corporal punishment and the impact it has on children, the negative impact it has on children.
Mm-hmm.
Violence begets violence.
Yes.
And you just mentioned systemic conditions, core values. If you don't recognize that hitting a child is domestic violence, if you don't recognize that any type of violence is violence, then you don't understand how it evolves into greater violence. So when I hear, and I have many close associates, we've had this conversation often, when my associates talk about these children in the streets that are killing and carjacking and mugging people and all of these assaults by teenagers, and they say the problem is they didn't get enough spankings. That's exactly wrong, because violence begets more violence. Where does a child learn violence? They don't learn violence in a home that's loving and kind and supportive and encouraging. They learn violence in a home that's violent.
Yes.
So when parents believe they're instilling a value in a child of respect for authority, and they use disrespect to the child, you're not instilling respect, you're instilling fear. And the fear only lasts as long as the child believes that you're bigger than them and can hurt them. But what happens when the child outgrows you? Well, then the fear is gone, and what you thought was respect was really fear of being bullied by somebody bigger. Well, now that the child is bigger, there's no fear. And so the child begins to imitate what you have done, which is to pick on someone that they feel that they can overpower and be cruel to, as you were cruel to them in your mistaken belief that you were instilling in them respect. Respect is to treat others the way you wish to be treated. That is respect. And you demonstrate that by the way you treat the child, as if they are a human being with feelings and desires and needs. And you're the parent that's there to guide them, to give them understanding of respect for others' lives, of respect for other people's feelings, by showing how you treat people, by demonstrating in the way you treat them. And yes, they're a young person with their own free will, and you need to help them understand that all things that you might want to do are not appropriate because they could cause harm to yourself or others. And yes, you have to show them that there are consequences for disregarding the well-being of others by your decisions, but those consequences cannot be violent, because then you're instilling violence, and it will manifest later in their lives when they decide that they want to impose their will on someone or force someone to do something or express anger at someone. So when you've taught them how to do this, while you're raising them, and they get into their own homes, and they decide they don't like the way their spouse spoke to them or looked at them or forgot to do something or didn't respond to them in the way that they wanted the response to be, well, they're going to use what you taught them, violence. And the greater the stress in life, the more we're apt to lose control of our emotions and our temper. And so if we've been put in a pattern of violence whenever there's stress, well, then that's what we increase. Now, these are very stressful times. People can't leave their homes, they're losing jobs, they're under economic depression and worry. And what do? You turn on the person that's closest to you.
Right. Yeah.
So if that's the pattern you've been taught, that you can inflict violence when you're under stress, you can inflict violence when you're irritated, you can inflict violence when you need to blame somebody for the way you're feeling, well, then that's what you're going to do. We taught people to do this by the mistaken belief that you should inflict violence on a child in order to force them to bend to your will.
Exactly, exactly. And I also want to point out some other key factors of how domestic violence becomes very prominent in family systems is because of personality disorders, okay, such as narcissism. You have borderline and you have histrionic. So I was kind of go through those really quick. Narcissism is a personality disorder that a person is very brutal with their words, with their actions. They have control issues. They also want to not just control you, but they want to manipulate you into doing things even against your will completely. They will belittle you. They will break you down mentally to control you, not just tell you, oh, don't do this and don't do that. No, they break you down mentally. They make you feel as though it's your fault, the reason why they are doing what they're doing. They may be abusing you with their words, their actions, their behavior, and they're like, this is because you did this and you did that. That's the reason why I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So, and with a repeated exposure to this particular action and behavior, if you're living in a person's household that is a narcissist, it is a strong influence on the mind.
Yeah.
And before you realize it, you have gotten to a point where you don't even know who you are anymore. You have no idea. You just caught up in that web of slow self-destruction, you know. And I mean, because that's what's happened, is that they are a cause to your own self-destruction if you're not careful, you know. And a lot of people, they get into that, and their codependency is playing a part in that as well. So now that person is codependent on that narcissist, and they feel that they are subject to them and they can never be free. Okay,
yeah.
So now that person can really do the worst damage. They can do the worst damage at that point, as well as borderline. Borderline is where, you know, they are manic and they're never satisfied. You know, their control issue is not so much there. It's just that they're never satisfied. You can never satisfy them.
Yeah.
They're constantly, you know, complaining about what you're doing, how you're doing it. And again, if codependency plays a role in that, then you yourself, because we're talking about, you know, the male counterpart being this way, the female is then subject to that male. You know, she doesn't know how to get out of it because she thinks that this is where she's supposed to be, you know, and she doesn't rescue herself or her children until something really detrimental happens.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine being raised in a household where there's a narcissistic man and children are experiencing that behavior, and they're watching her being beat down, her being blamed, her meekly accepting it, and then there might even be including the children in that whole emotional abuse. So then the children become conditioned to accept mistreatment as a normal way of life, or to accept that as normal so-called discipline. And can you imagine the self-esteem or the lack thereof that they're going to have as adults? So when we see aberrant behavior, it comes from somewhere. It's rooted in something. It was conditioned behavior. And we have been taught to believe that this is normal because the rules in society, or even the guidelines of society, are often made by men who are excusing behavior that's abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a lot for people to stand up against a cultural value that is abusive to an entire gender. But this is what we've been living for centuries, and it's taking a long time for women to stand up and take back their personhood and not to see this as a normal male-female balanced relationship, because it's very imbalanced when one of you is expected to acquiesce to emotional and often physical abuse, and the man being told that this is a reflection of him being head of his household.
Mm-hmm.
But if the core values, as you mentioned, if the core value that we are teaching people is not respect for all life, then everything that's done is going to be skewered and imbalanced and allowing the abuse of others by one who is the strongest and most capable of inflicting physical pain on everybody else. That's not a human value that we need to keep instilling in people. So it begins at the very core that you do no harm to any other being. That has to be a core human value that we're choosing to instill. And we're also choosing to admit that we have been incorrect in the past. Just because something has been a long time cultural practice, just because our parents did it and their parents did it and their parents did it and their parents did it, it doesn't make it correct. Because look at the mess we've made. If the world is a mess, it's because we made this mess because
right,
of our
right.
thinking and our behavior. If we want it to change, we have to first change the thought that produced the mess that we're in. And we got a call on the line if you'd like to take it. We got some time
before
the break. All right, area code 863-816. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts on this topic.
Yeah, good morning to all L.A., Central Florida.
And rising, L.A.
My thoughts, I guess, are more theories than anything. On domestic violence, I'm going to attempt to mix some black history in here.
All right.
Since it's Black History Month. I think on a critical mass basis, because not all blacks are alike, and we're not all alike, and household relationships are different from person to person and all that, different households. But I think on a critical mass basis, and now, once again, this is my theory. If we get back to basics that we had, I'm going back to slave days here in the United States. And I'm not taking a whole populace of slaves, but in particular, there were quite a number of people who were born slaves that became what I call slave entrepreneurs. What most people don't know about slavery in the United States, because a lot of people think that that all slaves were not paid for their labor, but quite a few blacks were paid for their labor. They were basically employed as, and I do use the word employed, as artisans. They made brooms, they made mops, they made furniture, they were carpenters, they were metal workers, they were shipbuilders. They built the big house, they built roads. And the metrics that I'm using is, and people can fact check me on this, if you look up online, the Republic of Maryland, Mississippi, in Africa and Kentucky in Africa, you have groups of former slaves in those states that I just named. Like with the Republic of Maryland, that was a group of former slaves that worked as artisans predominantly, and they got their money together. I mean, they were practicing free enterprise during slavery. In plain sight, they organized their money. They went over to Africa, and they bought, like, from my research, anywhere from 25,000 acres to up to 2 million acres of land. And they started their own nation. Now, the Republic of Maryland just lasted about 12 years, and it got annexed by Liberia. Now it's Maryland County, Liberia. But they had a colony of people out of Kentucky that did the same thing, a colony of people out of Mississippi to do the same thing. Now, how does this all fit into, my theory of domestic violence? I believe that back then, on a critical mass basis, that couples, the domestic violence, now, there probably was some, but I think it was probably dramatically less. I don't have any numbers to back that up right now, because they depended on each other, couples depended on each other for survival and prosperity. So that's my thought on it, attempts to mix it in with some black history.
Well, you know, I have a question for you, L.A., because I know that things have changed over time, just based on the way we survive, you know, when there was more of a rural economy and more defined roles and more necessity for people to cooperate for survival. I don't know if there was less violence between people, but I suspect that if your survival depended on cooperation from others, then you're going to cooperate rather than abuse, I think. Do you have any data or any figures on the issue of violence between couples in those kinds of environments? I mean, I don't know.
Now,
if
I don't have any data or information on that part of it, but quite a number of what I call slave entrepreneurs, particularly the ones that became wealthy during that period of time. This is all before the Emancipation Proclamation. Like I say, all this stuff's online. Quite a number of them were females, you know, women that were slave masters. One right up in Mother Priscilla Baltimore, who started off life as a slave, and she got together with 11 families, and they started a Brooklyn, Illinois, which still exists today in the state of Illinois. From everything I've read is that, you don't hurt. If you got a partner that you depended upon, I'm just theorizing, I don't think you're going to be beating them up and then expect them to, do whatever they had to do back then. Because they were entrepreneurial. And they trained their children to be entrepreneurs.
515-605-9325. Awesome. 515. If you want to call in, call us 515-605-9325. That's 515-605-9325. We're talking about domestic violence today, particularly when it's perpetrated by the male. And what are some of the factors that create that? And what are some of the cultural attitudes that actually support that? And how do we change them so that we can stop recreating this condition? So we want you all to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll certainly open your mic and get your thoughts. So, L.A., you've pointed out some interesting observations here. And one of the things that I have often observed, and I don't know because I wasn't there, I don't know if it's just because that's what we see in the movies or if this is real life, but it seemed that the relationships within families were more cohesive during those times that families had to pull together for that kind of survival situation. And children understood their value, and parents taught them, you know, because everybody had to have certain skills in order for the family to survive, whether it was, you know, how to plow the land, or, you know, how to wash clothes, or whatever the case was. There was a teaching of how to do the things that the family needed in order for the family to function. However, there were, and depending on the personality of the one in charge, there were instances where there may have been severe corporal punishment. There may have been what's called wife beating, because the person, perhaps the male head of household, had anger management issues, had personal frustration issues, may have been abused by their own parents. So often these things were not talked about publicly, and they became a thing that people kept quiet within the family, And sometimes people were made to feel ashamed if they were being beaten at home. So we often hear, you know, you don't tell the family business. But unfortunately, there were not law enforcement agencies in place that could, I guess, rescue someone in that environment by protecting their human right not to be beaten. And coming out of the slave culture where beating was a form of control, you had a lot of behaviors that people had learned as a means of controlling other people. So it's just recently where the laws have verified that you should not strike another adult. But there still were not laws in place that said you should not strike your children. And so you still had that as a cultural value of being okay, you know, if a man was supposed to control his household. So anyway, we've got to take a break. We've got another call on the line, but LA, I want to come back to you, and then we're going to take area code 313-442 and get your thoughts on that. When you think that cultural values changed, or at least we were able to talk about it being incorrect for someone to use violence on their family. So we'll be back in a moment. And if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
And so they say, I don't have a man, and I'm going to sleep with five or six. They don't call it podcast or whatever it is. Then you have men who think they can run around and play games on men. All of this leads up to somebody being frustrated and disappointed and finding any ways necessary to feel like, I need to get out of this hole. You got me up against the wall. You got me in a corner. And if we blame it on slavery, we erase and eradicate some of the current issues that cause it. Moral breakdown, disrespect of the family, disrespect of each other, disrespect of ourselves. Does not reach 400 years back, 200 years back, 100 years back. Hell, let's not reach 50 years back. We forget. We are one, those of us past 50, are one generation away from sharecroppers. And in the generation where we found people, hell, it ain't one generation away from slavery. We got white people still with people in Alabama. Well, we had one in Michigan. Upper Michigan, they found a couple with a black girl chained in the basement that they're using for day labor every day. This is in the 21st century. We've got to go back to understanding there's sickness all around us. And it is not the formality of the common mother and father who raises a child to walk into a society that's still not on one page about love, affection, relationship. I just came out of a relationship, and she was abusive at times, but injective of abuse almost all the time. What do I mean? She come from a mother with six girls, all beautiful, mothers Indian, half black. So we got these light-skinned women with long hair who, she had four baby daddies with six girls. I think she married three of them. I don't know what it takes to convince a mind who's raised around substandard respect. And then you find out the power of your sex appeal. You find out the power of your light-skinnedness. You find out the power of your humps and bumps. And mine wasn't humps and bumps because she was slim, and but she knew how to walk and talk with what she had. And then she became a closet alcoholic and then would say, well, I'm at home. And you know when women get, some women and some men get drunk, they want to fight. Or either they're ready to argue about anything and are very sexual in most cases. I don't know if we can blame that on slavery. I just want us to realize there are some entities now, not slavery, right now. If I was a violent man, I probably would have fought her. If I was an alcoholic myself, we probably would have been in the battle. But those kind of people are allowed to live an everyday life and lie and cheat and backstab. And thank God I got away from her. But how many people don't? She literally dated a guy and bragged about what he was going to leave her. And let me say to the women and men out there, if you're with somebody who's waiting on you to die to live, you're with the wrong person. I want to be with somebody who wants to win while I'm living, not win when I die. And Christmas week, he died. And although, like I told her, you're not going to win. You ain't even going to enjoy it. God can't let the darkness win. And it goes back to this, y'all. Hear me good on this. When you're around dark people, if you don't have enough light, that darkness will eventually overshadow you. You've got to have enough God in you. Just like I told her, you know, you're not raising your child in church. You go to church and you don't even take a child with you. What kind of spirit is your child developing? And so that daughter will learn to sleep around. That daughter will learn to mistreat people. And I don't know if y'all know it lately, but these young men now and young women now are killing each other. So what you're teaching your daughter, you know, we had a case in Detroit where two girls were found in an abandoned house. And when they got the guys, because they knew who she was with, who they were with, they said they wouldn't shut up and they got tired of it. They had them over there a whole weekend from Thursday to and because they wouldn't shut up and they kept nagging them. And you done screwed them all weekend because your daughter is running around here not having no more standing. You going to let her have her own mind, let her have her own peace. No. It comes from unstructured living, which gives you unbalanced evaluation about how to treat life. And when you walk out that house of your mother or your daddy, the world don't give a damn about you. Your mama may tolerate you. Your daddy may tolerate you. Your grandmama may tolerate you. But when you get out there, and that ain't in every case, and I ain't said every boy going to kill a girl and every girl going to kill a boy. But it's happening a lot. Every day we got somebody being disrespected, killed, stabbed, or whatever. And that's before we get to the police killing them. All I want to say to you, emphasis, abuse of any kind is wrong. But it's existing issues that's causing a lot of it, not slavery only. It is the society that we live in. America was stole by white man and killed in it. America was built by black men that was and black women that was driven here by the slave. Watch this. The slave enhancer was the black man in Africa that brought the slaves to the door of no return. The white man couldn't go in a black neighborhood in Africa and get nobody. But we're selling ourselves out now. We're dealing with a governor here in Michigan that really has given us nothing in 3 years. But she's going to cry for our vote saying we need the Democrats. No, we don't need the Democrats. We need respectful people of our people so we can have a good, honest living. And anybody who's willing to move, there's a job in Detroit right now. Forget $15 an hour. One of the major oil companies is hiring. And I can get you in at $26 an hour. But you got to put away your weed. You got to put away your weed.
Got to pass the drug test.
He said, I talked to the plant now. He said, Mr. Hunter, I get hope. I see them pass the test. I see them do this. I see them do that. And then we beg them to tell us if they don't, if they smoke weed. Because it's an oil company. You can blow up the damn state. You can't be getting high. And if your vices got more power over you than the ability to provide for your family, which is, they always say the number one reason for divorce is money. It's not money. It's the lack of moral standards for how they treat money, what they look at. Unearned money will mess a man in a relationship up every day. Let me say it again.
Yeah, well, Pastor Gary.
Unearned money.
You know, Pastor Gary, there's something that you mentioned about, you know, those people who are not able to take care of their families because they can't let go of the drugs. A couple of generations ago before weed, it was alcohol. But we know when people are stuck on substance abuse, they're trying to self-medicate because they're in emotional pain. And just because something is commonly used to self-medicate, it doesn't mean that that's not the real reason why people are using that substance, whether it be alcohol, weed, whatever it is. Something makes you not able to face life with a sober mind. You are in pain trying to mask that pain. The question is, why are you in pain? Now, we know that the use of these things alters your behavior and your perception and your dependability, but the root question to ask is, what happened to you that caused this pain that you're trying to soothe through the use of another substance, alcohol, drugs, sex even, because that becomes a drug that people use, trying to create a feeling to overcome a negative feeling. So, you know, when you speak of, and I agree, slavery is something that we point to, but really there's a bigger issue that each individual person is grappling with something inside of them that makes them act out abusively at other people. Slavery was a massive system of abuse, but it also came from another massive mindset of abuse. So if you have people that are looking to abuse somebody else because they were abused, then it becomes a generational pattern. So what we have to do is stop, first of all, accepting this as behavior that should happen and is okay to happen, and we have to set a higher standard of human treatment. And that's one of the things that we need to seek to do if we're going to change this repeated pattern of abuse, where each generation keeps producing people who are cruel, insensitive, abusive, and believing that this is normal behavior. Now, your friend who, you know, probably came out of a household where women had been raised to think that you use your sexuality to get what you want because the society treated them like, you know, we'll give you whatever you want if you use your sexuality, that becomes a learned attitude, a learned value. And then often men will be attracted to women who may look in a way that is perceived or considered beautiful by the society and not see the emotional damage underneath. And so then they're angry and frustrated when this woman manifests emotional disturbance, because maybe if having to either have been sexualized very early, you know, and you have a 12, 13-year-old that is introduced to sex because that becomes a way to get what you need or survive because that's what's been taught, that behavior, it manifests somewhere in that woman's life, often as drug or alcohol misuse because they're in emotional pain. But the man doesn't see that. They see, why is this beautiful woman acting like she has lost her mind? Why is she so undisciplined? Why is she self-destructive? Because of what happened to her. Because of how inside she felt violated but had to accept it because that's what the society says you, if you are attractive, must do in order to get what you need. But that's still a form of abuse when you're sexualized at 12, 13, 14 years old, because that's what the women in your household have done in order to survive. But it's still abuse. So I don't know if you've ever spoken to her about, you know, when was her first sexual experience or what was it like, or was she forced to perform an act of sexual intimacy, was she encouraged to do so in order to get some material gain, and how did that make her feel? Because that's a deep thing, and most men don't see it from the perspective of the woman who is initiated into that kind of a sex abuse type of relationship where they're taught to use their body. But it does affect your mind. It affects your heart. It affects your soul. And it makes you feel bad, and that's why you end up using alcohol to drown out the pain, or even drugs to mask the pain of really being made to feel like you've been reduced to a thing. It's hurtful for the human spirit.
I did in the beginning. And just for those who are curious about the job and like to try it, my number is 313-442-6111, if you're serious. If you can put your joint down, lay your alcohol down, and you want to provide, because the number one issue to anyone's pleasure of life, period, is being able to give the pleasure to yourself and be able to provide for your own family. Yes, we had those long discussions, but when you find out that a person is a deceiver, you don't know what really was the truth. And the more she told stories about how she was treated, the more they seemed unreal, and going as far as to dog one man out there and he hid in her couch. Now, he stood 6 feet two or something like that. There's no couch made that you can hide in being that big. And when I look back over the lies, sometimes people's number one abuse is being able to convince somebody that I've been abused. Let me say it again. Sometimes we call it the woman, the damsel in distress. And when they learn it works, they build up stories that make the last person look bad. So I'll be sensitive to letting you mistreat me till you find out. And I honestly believe that not only did she lie on all of them, but she's probably lying on me now, because one situation came up the other day where somebody called me about something, and I said, congratulations. And he said, for what? He said, I heard you got married. And I'm not married. I said, he said, who told you that? And I said, such and such. And he said, man, she was trying to get your attention. She starves for attention, because we all been knowing each other since we were 19, 20. And he said, she was trying to get your attention. I'm not married, anything about marriage right now, or nothing. You don't know people's behavior and what really leads up to it if they can't be honest with you, number one. And on many occasions, she said to me and other people, you the first man I've ever had that told me my stuff stank. And the problem is, a lot of people don't feel compelled to be true with each other, afraid of what you're going to miss from the relationship.
And well, you know, Pastor Gary, a lot of times the abusive person has been abused, and that's both male and female. So I understand what you're saying about many of the cases of domestic violence. You might have the woman who acted out her anger, frustration, or whatever physically. The man retaliates physically. The police are called, and the police are ready to arrest the man because it's assumed, well, hey, you're stronger. You're the one. If there was a fight that broke out, well, yeah, you're the man. You're supposed to be able to handle things. You're beating on this woman. So It can be very messy, and I know a lot of police, I have a lot of police friends who really do not like getting involved in domestic violence situations, because usually there's some dysfunction between the couple, and sometimes that's the way that they relate to each other, because they're both dysfunctional. And I'll say this about relationships. I know we got to go to a break in a minute. You have to look at what is inside of you that attracts a person that is dysfunctional? Because people are a mirror to each other, and people come into your life
can I
to reflect something to you that's in yourself.
Let
and it's difficult, and I'm going to let you respond after the break, and we got another caller. But you got to reflect. If you find yourself continuously involved with dysfunctional people, you have to look at what is inside of you that is attracting that energy, because it is inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you would not be attracted to, I don't care how beautiful they are, you would not be attracted to that person unless there was something in them that's also in you. And everybody who's in an abusive relationship, you have to look at what is inside of me that's attracting someone that abuses me. Am I inside myself abusing myself? Am I seeing myself as less worthy? Am I seeing myself as someone who deserves to be hurt? Have I been conditioned to accept abuse by parents who abuse me? Why am I attracting this kind of energy? Because if you find yourself in a succession of relationships with women who are emotionally imbalanced, that is telling you something that is inside of you that you have to address, because they're reflecting what's inside of you. It's not pleasant to hear, but necessary to face in order to fix. So we got to take a break. We'll come back and talk about that. Got another call on the line I'm going to take. 773-487 is going to come to you next. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we're going to come right to you and get your thoughts as we talk to Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions, and we address the issue of domestic violence, especially when it's perpetrated by men. Why is that happening? How do we correct it? And how do we recognize it when it may be happening to us? We'll be right back after this break, so stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Sofa Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green and my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer. Wow, what a topic. I know it raises a whole lot of thoughts, which is, you know, the male involvement in domestic violence. Everyone has their own opinions on this, but again, I just want to make a point before we take the next caller. It doesn't matter who the person is that is the perpetrator, which is the battler. You know, you got people that are victims. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, what race they are, what genders they are. Again, as I was talking before, we got a dysfunction because I think the technology kind of caused a little insert.
Yeah.
While I was talking to Facebook Live, I was telling them that the love waxed cold. We forgot how to love each other.
Mm.
Because when we first got with each other, at some point it was some type of love that was established with trust and communication. So what happened? How did we lose it? And we can blame each other all day long, but at the same token, we made choices to be with that counterpart, to be with that person at the beginning stages of that relationship. So as that relationship started to change because of personalities and actions and behaviors or whatever the case may be, again, we both, you know, because it takes two to tango, it takes two to communicate, you know what I'm saying? You know, you have three parts of truth. This is your truth, her truth, you know, and there is the unauthoritative truth. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to crash anybody's landing right here, but I'm just letting you know that, you know, I mean, full responsibility has to be taken part from all ends of the spectrum here. You know, it's not it will be very imbalanced just to point a finger at just one person in a relationship because it takes two to communicate. And whatever is happening inside of us is going to happen outside of us. And as you said, you know, Naima, you clearly said it. You know, if I'm attracted to certain individuals, I'm leaning towards them as this is my mate, this is my lover, my friend, or whatever it may be, okay, and that person may have some dysfunctions already with them. Okay, guess what? You are also attracted to those dysfunctions, you know, because that person wasn't perfect, neither are you. You see what I'm saying? So at some point, it had to work and intermingle, entangle, or whatever you want to call it, before things just totally drop to the ground, where now you look at that person, she's looking at you, you looking at her, men or women or whatever the case may be, oh, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Matter of fact, I don't even want you to live anymore.
Mm.
I just want to take you out, you know, in any way I can. Maybe I can take you out mentally. I want to take you out physically or whatever the case is. So now that love turned into what they call self-hate. Because if you hate another individual in any type of way, verbal, mental, emotional, you're hating yourself because that's what it is. And, you know, and then you're self-destructing. So we look at that thing called self-defeat, self-sabotage, leading to self-destruction. And most people look at another person, oh, you're destructive because of your actions, your words. But that, was I with you for how many years? How many years was I with you? Now I realize that you're self-destructive. You probably were self-destructive before I even met you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So who's to blame here? I can't blame you, and I can't, you know, what is it? I might as well say, you know what? We are all to blame, okay? Let's do it that way.
Well, I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you mentioned the rise in murder, suicide, and that sort of thing. What is the mindset of someone who says, whether it's you cheated on me or you disrespected me or whatever the thing is, the thought of you've made me feel that I don't want to live anymore, so I'm going to kill myself and you. What is that mindset of I'm so upset that I want all of this to end and I want to end my life and yours? What is that mindset? Why and people always ask, okay, you wanted to commit suicide.
Can I please answer that?
They didn't want to die. So what is that mindset that makes some someone decide to destroy all the lives? Can you answer that, Dr. Debbie?
Yes. Mental illness. That's what it is. You gotta understand self-destructive in the human mind. When you are in a self-destruct, it just didn't happen yesterday. This has been ongoing for years and years and years. So now you have went through, I mean, so many different evolving of your situations. Rather, your experiences have what they call contributed to this even at an early age when you were a child. So now your young adult is destructive. And now your older adult is destructive. So where you are right now, because we hear this all the time. We did this just recently as of November 6th. I'll just give you the latest one, and then I'm going to give you one that's in December, then I'm going to give you one but this one that really hit home with me. Young 21-year-old black man. It ain't got nothing to do with race. I'm just telling you what he is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Young 21-year-old black man actually killed his girlfriend that just had a baby 2 days ago, took the baby and dumped it in a river. So we asked ourselves, what went wrong?
Mm.
Who was wrong? Well, I mean, what we think that she might have contributed to this possibly, because she have stopped it? Because did she make him so angry where he took a gun and shot her twice in the head and then took the baby out of her arms and then dumped it in the river? So what went wrong? Does this have anything to do with slavery? Does this have anything to do with society? Does this have anything? The question is, when he got to that point, there was loss of life in him. He didn't, no self-awareness, no, what they call a human factor, no, a totally emotionalist. Okay, so you become animalistic, okay?
So now we have some people.
You become animalistic, which is now we're dealing with mental illness. Mental illness is real.
Well, it's extremely real. Well, we have some people that might look at that and say, well, see, he wasn't disciplined as a child. He wasn't given enough spankings.
Nah, that ain't got nothing to do with it.
Because people are thinking that if you instill fear in a child through violence, then they're going to not be violent when they become an adult, which in fact is the exact opposite, because that's actually, and we went through this yesterday, 10 things that are destructive results from hitting a child. That's at the core of mental illness, early childhood abuse. And when we don't categorize hitting a child as domestic violence, we don't see that we're sowing the seeds of mental illness. I'm trying to connect the dots here, people, because when we started this conversation a few days ago about hitting children, a lot of things came up in people, but they didn't recognize the reflections of it in their own lives as to the impact of that form of control of a child's behavior being abusive emotionally, mentally, as well as physically, and how that treatment later manifests in your life, either in attracting abuse or perpetrating abuse. So I'm trying to help our people see the whole picture. And, yeah, we don't need to go back to slavery, because it's a human thing, and you might have somebody that doesn't have any roots in slavery, but they have roots in parents who didn't have the skills to guide a child and express their anger and use violence at a child who didn't have the means to protect themselves from this emotional and physical abuse, and therefore planted the seeds of increased violence in that child, which manifested in adult behavior of either perpetrating the violence or accepting the violence as normal. And it comes from that child.
Naima, can I please respond to that?
What I'm trying to tell you is this right here. Then we're going to go ahead and take the caller. What I'm trying to tell you is that when a person is changed through osmosis, okay, like you said, if the child was actually abused as a child, no matter what type of abuse it was, what kind of trauma, what type of crisis, what happens in the human mind is that it changes that person, okay? It changes the ego defense mechanism. It changes the way that person responds and reacts to life itself.
Mm.
It doesn't have a logic. It doesn't have a rationale. It doesn't have a time sequence thing where it can ponder. It becomes very impulsive. It's like an impulsive time bomb ticking.
Ooh.
So now it becomes a mental disruption, dysfunction, and you don't know when it's going to happen. It's like I call them living landmines.
Ooh.
You don't know when it's going to happen. And that person gets in, and underneath it is a whole lot of pain. As my sister Vanietta Robinson says off of Facebook Live, yes, sounds like that person has a lot of pain, but they don't know how to deal with that pain. They don't know how to handle that pain. That pain turns, because one thing about anger, you first get irritated, agitated, you go through all of these things, then you're angry. And then that anger, if it stays in there, if it's not dealt with, if it's not handled, if it's not resolved, it turns into internal rage.
Mm.
Internal rage can either go inward, which is suicide, or it can come outward, which is suicide, murder, homicide. That's the way it works. And, you know, we see this, that it's a systemic. It keeps happening. It doesn't matter what age they are. It doesn't matter what walk of life they come from, how much money they have, or whatever the case may be, because we see it in our society each and every day. And it's almost like it's a constantly, you know, a revolving door of the same thing over and over again. The only thing that changes is just the player. But the
same
stays the same.
Wow. Well,
that's
we're going to take the next caller. So, L.A. and Gary, hold on. We're going to open your mics back up and get your responses in just a moment. But let me go to area code 773-487, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Hey, good morning. This is Kufi James, KUFIJ, is on YouTube. How you doing? I was going to ask you a question. What was slavery? What was the mental experience of being a slave? And if you look at it, it's separation of your child. Because if you had a child, mass will come and take that child away from you. Okay? Now,
yeah,
the reason I
yeah.
say that, okay, I'm just making a point. The reason I say that, in 2020, we're still in slavery. When a woman decides not to have that man in that child's life, she raped that man. She knew what she was doing when she laid down. She wanted a baby. Now she's putting that child in a slave environment. Then that child has to learn from the world now. So we're doing it to ourselves. Slavery is still going on. When you get a young man who grew up with just his mother tells him, if somebody hits you, you better hit them back. But a father might tell that child, boy, that's your friend. Y'all work it out. You see, we are perpetuating the same acts on ourselves as the master, the plantation owner did to us. And until it changes, this next generation, it ain't gonna be no better. It's the same thing going on. It's a perpetual cycle. Woman, when you see a woman out here talking about men and because women right now, if y'all didn't know, women are the slave property again. Goldman Sachs gave black women $10.5 billion, and we're gonna help you create a business. That's ownership. And I see it in the attitude of a woman right now. So when I grew up, prayer was the thing that helped a person. You could talk about and get deep and why this person did this, why this person did that. But if we're not praying for our society and praying for all these manifestations of demonic activity out here is going to continue and continue. And I will tell these women out here and men, when you lay down and have babies, if you decide that child will not see one of those parents, you put that child in a slave plantation mentally. Okay? I was raised with a man and a woman. I was fortunate. So I got a little sound about myself. I got a little peace about myself. I've learned from both sides, from a man and a woman. I saw the yin and yang working out. And if we don't get that balance, we're just going to continue to have a destructive culture, you know, through our music, pain. You hear it all over the internet. You hear it all over the radio. Everybody just screwing out pain. And if you tell them, well, I'm trying to do better, you can't do better because, yeah, what you trying to do? You know, I was talking about a relationship last night on the radio, and I said, well, I was trying to take a girl on a trip to build a snowman. They started laughing at me. A snowman? That sounds goofy. I'm like, you know, but this is the destructive mindset. That is so, and somebody called and said, no, that's very cute. That was nice. You know, we don't see, we are in slavery right now. We're seeing it. And that's why I backed up and say, you know what, let me just start praying, because we don't really know, we don't really realize that we're putting ourselves back into this slave mentality. Slavery ain't over with. We are perpetuating on ourselves. So that was my comment. I still have hope, and my hope is relied on prayer. My hope is relied on indoctrinating our people, unindoctrinating our people with all these lies that have been placed in our minds, you know, telling us we're from Africa and all that type of garbage. And I don't try to call nobody names, but they know who I'm talking about. And let me tell you, when you tell our people,
and unfortunately, as I said, we don't.
a cell phone as early as 5 years old, something that's not, they don't even know what that is. You know what I'm saying? So we've been exposed mentally and emotionally to so many things over and over again. Now we want to know why everything is falling apart. Now we want to know, we don't understand love. And, you know, like you said, we are in this slavery thing. Everybody is a slave, sir. Yes, because that's the way it is. Because it's a tit for tat. The government, that's, if you don't pay your taxes on your home, they're going to come take your home. If you don't pay taxes on this, they're going to do this. But we are all in a slavery mentality. I'm so sorry. I can't deal with that victim mentality. Because I see my young black men, you see what I'm saying, falling to the wayside because they're killing the young black females. Regardless of what reason it is, there's no reason to take a life. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason. If you don't want that person in your life, so guess what? Move. Go away. I don't care what you do. You see what I'm saying? If you don't want to be a father to your child, then guess what? Somebody else is going to be a father to your child, whether it's society, the community, or another man, or that black woman that's raised many black men or black females. And you know what I'm saying? But she can't think that she's a victim. How's she going to think of it? I mean, I know many black women right now got 6 children, okay, went back to school, got a master's degree, put them all through college.
Yeah.
So she can't think about a slave mentality. Excuse me, my brother, I'm so sorry. That riles me a little bit. You see what I'm saying? I love you. I love you like the sun loves the moon. But I got to tell you how T.I. is, like the old people say. Because I can't think about that. I can't think that way because when a man thinking his heart, so is he. So in order for me to help another person, I got to tell him, you ain't a victim.
Yeah.
You are not a victim of nobody's circumstance. So if somebody's hurting you with their words, their actions, their ideals, then the best thing you can do is say, sayonara, okay?
Sayonara.
I ain't got to be here. Got to be here. Don't get it twisted because you come back to my house, be ready to tango because I'm gonna protect myself. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to call the police first and tell them straight up, oh, guess what? Mr. Hill or Mrs. Dale, however, I'm just letting you know, better come on to the house because ain't nobody going to take me out. Not mentally, not emotionally, not physically, not spiritually. Yes, that's the kind of black woman I am because guess what? I got it the hard way, grew up in the ghetto, understood what it meant not to have. So when I'm talking to my people, and I talk to people all the time, every single day, I tell them straight up, never think you are a victim of nobody's circumstance, not even your own. Never think you are a slave because you will always be a slave. Just because your forefather said was a slave, just because, guess what, we came up on their backs through the shores. But guess what? No, we ain't no slaves and no master. The only master I'm a slave to, that is my father, my God, my fortress, my redeemer. And that is it. But other than that, deuces.
Oh, well, all right then.
You done rise, little sister, right there, because I can't think of my mentality, man. Oh, no. Put me on the mountain. I'll tell the world about it. Put me on the mountain. No,
well, we got another caller, but we also got to take
a... I love you, Cupid. I love you.
and you know, I'm grateful that the men are sharing their perspective on things because, of course, that's how we understand how we think and where those thoughts lead us. I know we got to take a break in a minute, and then we got another call, and I'll probably get a chance to open up the mics for those that are on the line. And 847-738, we're coming to you next. And Beata says, that's Sister Zelda. Zelda says, our Monday host, she said, yes, Sister Vieta said it right, nature deficit disorder, tree and grass time. That's right. You know, that if we could take our children and put them back in a natural environment instead of this unnatural technology, you know, cell phone raising your 3-year-old kind of society, no love, you know, that will fix a lot. And Jody says, be a master of your destiny, not a victim of your past.
Absolutely.
So powerful. And, you know, and before we take a break, I want to respond a bit to, you know, what you said and what Jody said and what Zelda said. You know, all of us are powerful. We are powerful beyond measure. No one has the power to do anything. We are all creatures of free will. And we've had people throughout history that have explained that. and demonstrated that. Like Harriet Tubman said, she said, I realized I had a right to two things. I had a right to be free or a right to die. And so once you decide, look, I am going to be free, nobody can enslave you, because you're saying, I'm not afraid of death, because I'm deciding I'm going to live free. And so when you make that choice, no one has the power to do anything to you. The condition of slavery is a belief that you don't have control over your life. And your decision to acquiesce to the fear of pain and death and to allow people to control you using that fear. The only thing that kept people enslaved was the fear of pain and death, constantly reinforced through violence. But once a person decided they were not going to fear pain or death, that broke the cycle of slavery in them, because even slavery is something you choose to agree to because you fear pain and death. That is inside of you. And if you understand that no one can kill you, no one can kill you because you are an eternal being, whether you're living inside this body or in the spirit realm, no one has the power to kill you. Once you know that, then you are free. So last thought before we take the break, this is what the master teacher, the one we know as Jesus, was teaching. That was the demonstration he was showing, even in the crucifixion. No one has the power to kill you. So you do not live in fear. You are all powerful. That was what he was teaching. And when we get that lesson, we will be free.
Yes.
So let me take a break and come on back.
I need another hour of this right here.
I know. Never enough time to teach. And 847, we're coming to you next. So hold on. We'll be right back after this quick break. And you're listening online? All right now.
Yeah.
Yes. So we got, if you're on our, if you're on Soulful Solutions on Facebook, or you want to join us on Facebook, go to Facebook and then type in Soulful Solutions, and you can write in your comments. And if you want to speak your comments, call us 515-605-9325 and press 1. We'll be right back.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
I'm Dr. Debbie Green, our wonderful host, Naima Latif, our executive producer, talking at the top of the hour. Oh, my goodness. Male involvement in domestic violence. We just hit a nerve. But I love it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. We have a call in the queue.
Yes. Let's go to 847. 738.
Good morning. Grand Rising.
Yes. Yes, okay, good morning. Good morning to our Tuesday host, Jody Susan.
I have to tell you, you know, you can do a post that says, you know, preach it, sister, right? But it doesn't do the justice. So I wanted to say it live. Preach it, sister. Preach. That mentality, that victim mentality will bury anyone, right?
Yes.
So I'm really so happy. I mean, I was just like, you go, girl. You go, girl. You go, you go, you go. You go, girl. You go, girl. You go, you go, you go. Anyway,
yes.
That's all really I have to say because you said it all perfectly. So. Nothing really else to say. You spoke it all.
Well, all right, then.
Other than, way to go.
We thank you so much for calling in, Jody. You know, a lot of times people get stuck on a belief that other people are more powerful than them. And I think it comes from being in a household where you felt powerless as a child. And this is what parents can create inside of you. They can either make you feel empowered by giving you a voice to speak, listening to you what you have to say, understanding your opinions. If you make a mistake or do something that they don't like, they can at least talk to you about it and hear your perspective as a child, as child as it might have been, but at least they'll respect the fact that you reasoned why you did something, and your reasoning was faulty because you're a child. But they can at least give you that respect of hearing what you have to say. But now, if you're in a household where the rule is just punishment, beating, oh, you did this, oh, you climbed up on this chair and you reached for something on the shelf and it fell and broke, oh, a beating. Oh, you went outside and crossed the street when I told you not to, oh, a beating. You know, if that's always the response and no one listens to you, then they're teaching you to feel helpless to defend yourself against abuse. That's what that form of child rearing does. It makes you feel as if you don't have the power to protect yourself from physical assault.
Yes. So I actually was coaching someone on that yesterday or 2 days ago. I asked her because I was doing a channel for her, and I said, you know, Spirit's asking me to ask you, are you giving your children a timeout, or are you actually, when they have a, you know, an upset, a tantrum, or whatever, or are you having a conversation so that they can be heard? And the reason I asked her this question is she said her throat chakra was blocked.
Mm.
And I said, well, if your throat chakra is blocked, what are you doing for your children to make sure theirs is not blocked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So,
and
I'm sorry, please go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add to that because I was just reading Louise Hay's book the other day. You know, issues with the throat have to do with you feeling like you're not able to speak. And cancer of the throat comes from swallowing anger. When you can't speak.
Yes!
And I've had friends who've had throat cancer.
It's suppression.
Suppression.
And that's what blocks the throat chakra because you've been suppressing the energy.
Yes. So when you can't, when you as a child are not allowed to speak or not allowed to express your thoughts or punished or beaten because you say what you feel, then you learn to swallow the energy. You learn to swallow your emotions, and it manifests in a physical illness. So, you know.
Yes.
And this is what I'm trying to teach parents who are stuck on that corporal punishment model of child rearing. You're destroying your child because you're not seeing them as a whole person like yourself who also has thoughts and feelings and perceptions and reasoning, even though it's on a child level. But at least if you allow them to express their thought as opposed to you imposing the idea that they did this to defy me, they did this to disobey me, they're disrespecting my authority, that's your adult ego that is underdeveloped. The reason why you're projecting that thought onto a child when that child did not do any of those things for the reason in your mind about them defying your authority. And that thought comes from you having low self-esteem. That's why you're projecting that onto a child. A child may have crossed the street because, oh, my friend is across the street. I want to play with them. Not thinking, oh, my parents said don't cross the street because they're afraid I'm going to get hit by a car. But in your mind, oh, you're defying me. You need a beating. You know, I climbed up on this chair to reach for, you know, a toy that I saw there, and my hand accidentally hit this expensive vase and knocked it on the floor. But you and your adult mind, oh, you fired me. You broke my thing. You need a beating. You know, we beat our children because we are putting our adult beliefs in their defiance.
We think they understand, though. It's because of our preconceived idea, Naima, that they think it's our preconceived idea that they understand or have the level of understanding that we do. And then we got that from our parents who had that preconceived. And so that's why we're being assumption-making machines, right? And so thank you, because that's a huge, cool distinction.
Yes. We're thinking that they think like adults. And so rather than us listening to them and saying, why did you do that? You know, I explained to you not to do that because this is what could happen. You know, I explained to you not to cross the street because a car, you're 3 years old, a car will not see you and you could get hit and hurt. I told you not to do this thing because I'm trying to prevent you being hurt. Instead of us listening to a child and them explaining why they did something and then us explaining why they shouldn't, first thing we want to do is hit them because our thought is they're defying my authority. I'm going to teach them respect. That's faulty thinking on the part of the adult. So when you're a child and you're in that environment and you can't stop yourself from being inflicted with physical pain, that instills a feeling of helplessness because at 3, 4, 5 years old, you can't stop the beating. You can't stop the pain. And so that's where that feeling comes from of helplessness. And then when you become an adult and you're, you know, bigger than the parents who hit you, well, of course, the fear is gone. But now you're going to express the anger that you've been suppressing, and it gets expressed at other people. And so that is where that comes from. I'm really trying to help all of us as human beings learn respect for all beings, regardless of how old they are, and to stop this cycle of violence and believing that if a child does something you don't like, that the answer is violence. It is not. It is your seeing them as the person they are, the expression of God that they are, and giving them a voice to speak. And if they're 2 years old and they don't have the words to say what they want, they get frustrated, and that's when they get a tantrum, because the tantrum is an expression of frustration and not being understood. And when you're two, you can't
be
understood.
And here's the thing. Can we talk about the tantrum for a moment? So the thing is, so many kids, so many adults, sorry. Huh?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. What you say adult tantrum?
So many adults quash themselves in how they speak or don't say what they really want to say. And they do that because they've been taught since childhood, go sit in the corner, you don't get a voice. You know, we're teaching them not to speak. And then those people get into relationships and they're not heard in relationships, and then they have divorce.
Right? Or
so we're promoting this as a society.
Yeah. Yeah, so a person is either swallowing anger and learning to accept abuse, and or they are so angry that they've been suppressing it that it explodes at someone. And generally these two people tend to find each other. And this is how we get these domestic violence relationships. One who has anger that they've not been able to express, one who's been conditioned to accept mistreatment. Those two people find each other, and those relationships become the domestic violence that we see. So that's what I'm explaining to our previous caller. If you find yourself constantly in relationships with people that are abusive, you have to look at how are you attracting that? Because both of you all are attracting each other because of what's both inside of you. And it isn't over.
And, yes, and you can use that relationship to heal it, to reset it, and to create a different way about it.
If you can recognize it's what it is.
If you are aware.
Right.
See, you got these two little single letters, if you are aware.
Yes.
Because
yes.
A lot of people are not aware that they are dysfunctional.
Right.
They're so comfortable living in the familiar. You see what I'm saying? So something has to happen. Something has to be broken. Something, like I said, you have to hit rock bottom. When you hit rock bottom, when people are being able to be productive in your own life, that is when one can then get the, what they call the self-awareness, like, wow, you know, what's happening? I'm losing my grip here. You know, I can't go to my job without feeling dysfunctional, or be in my personal life without feeling dysfunctional. You know, my mind is all over the place. Something has to crack. The egg has to completely crack into before that person can see the real truth of the nature.
Right.
So I think we're almost
done. We got another caller here.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Appreciate you so much. Yes, definitely they're very powerful observations there. And we've got area code 407-701. I believe we've got another sister with wisdom. Viata, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, ladies. Wow, what a passionate, high-energy conversation. I am just so enjoyed. I want to first of all invite your listeners to join me tomorrow on Health and Well-Being with Viata at 8 a.m. on this channel, Female Solution. And I want to just reemphasize, Kwame Sunhorse, one of our frequent listeners, always reminds us on our shows about nature deficit disorder. And I said in the comment, this is to me the main disease in our society, is that people are not getting out in nature. And I had a woman on my yoga class yesterday ask me in the comments, do you believe in God? And I thought, now why would she ask that question? And I just pondered it in my mind before I answered. And I said, of course, but I don't think we see God, creator, as in much in nature as we do this idea that God is this old man in the sky, as my grandson said, and I had to point out male, female, I had to explain that. But I think we need a re-education of everyone about what God is. God is in nature, I told her. I said, there's the birds, the bees, the grass, the sky. I said, all of that is our creator. And in us, I said, I told her, of course I believe in God. God is in me. My organs, my cells, my everything inside, my blood is all God. And that's where I think we're missing. And that's where we can help people balance their mental imbalances you've been talking about, is that people don't get out in nature enough to appreciate the sky, the sun, the moon, and the oxygen, and the birds, and the bees, and the ants, and all those things that make up our creator. We've been missing that. So I want to encourage everybody to get outside in nature and experience the creator like you've never experienced. And then you'll come out of victim mode and realize we're not victims, but we are victors. So that's my comment. See you tomorrow on Health and Wellbeing.
Thank you so much.
And quickly, because I know we're running out of time, I just wanted to reflect on what she said, because a lot of people don't get it. So here, visualize this. A big ball of energy. Energy, a big ball of light energy, pulsating energy, explodes out. Little sparks go everywhere. Each of us are one of those sparks. And each spark became something, whether it became a planet, whether it became a life form, whether it became a star, everything in the universe is one of those sparks of light that exploded. What is that great big ball of energy and light that exploded out? That is the creative energy of the universe. And we are all a part of that energy. We are all the expression of God, experiencing itself through a physical form. That is, if when you understand that there is one life, one energy, one source that's expanded, and we're all an expression of that one energy, when you understand that, then you understand the things that you hear us say all the time. We are each other. We are all connected. We are all one. But you really have to understand that and erase that thought of God being an old man in the sky that's looking down and judging people and, you know, assigning some people to suffer in hell and rewarding some people to go to heaven. No. This is the energy of creation of which we all are, and we are all eternal beings. We're all part of the eternal energy of life, of creation. We are all source energy. That's who we are. And when we see that in each other, then we can respect each other, even when we are just a child.
Absolutely, absolutely. So then you can then understand the greater that comes from that. You know, greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. So, which means that wonderful force, that creative being, you know what I'm saying, that lives and thrives inside of us each and every day is full of love.
Yeah.
So we cannot forget how to love. If you forget how to love, you will not create. You will not thrive. You will just exist.
Absolutely.
And I'm so sorry that's not an option for you, because love is how you were created. And love, he drew you. And love, he continued to keep you. You know, sometimes we get frustrated with life, you know, and it's understood. Because we got our highs and we have our lows. But that's no excuse to destroy anything.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what it is.
No excuse.
That's no excuse. There's no excuse to take anything for granted. Because if you hurt your child, you took it for granted. You hurt your wife, you took it for granted. You hurt your husband, sister, brother, or whoever it may
right.
be, you took it for granted. And, you know, one thing about it is we don't miss nothing until we have to walk by a casket.
Mm.
But that's when the reality sets inside, oh, my God, what did I do?
What did I
not do? I should have said this. I should have done that.
Right.
But it's too late then.
It's too late at that point.
So, you know, as I tell my children, give me my flowers that yet I may
well,
live
I can smell
to enjoy them.
Absolutely.
Don't wait until later.
Yeah, one of our callers has another quick comment. Pastor Gary, you got about a minute for one last reflection. Go right ahead. Your mic is open. You're with us? Unmute if you have something to say. Okay, you might be somewhere where he can't speak. He might be in a noisy place. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, just a reminder of two things in life. Okay, either you're going to be a human doing or you're going to be a human being.
Mm.
You choose today. Choose today because God created you to be, and that's just who you are. You're beautiful, bad, good, ugly, indifferent. It doesn't matter what you are, but you got to rest in your own skin. But rest in it. Rest in it, you know. And the thing about it, something to me, you know, we do the best we can with what we have, and that's all we are asked to do. You know, I mean, you know, you have, like you said, you have parents that expect their children to be perfect. No one's not perfect, but that child has to find their own perfection in themselves.
Yeah.
Even if they grew up in the worst type of situation, we see it all the time. We see people that might have been homeless, abused, but then they've done some of the greatest works known to man. So, you know, our excuse is only the level that we take it to. You see what I'm saying? Our life is only the level that we push it to because we have no limits. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who we are, what walk of life we come from, how we were raised. It's what you want to do with your life. Do you want to put it out there where it can be on the display to help another soul, or you just want to continue to crush it through your hands or through someone else's hands? So, again, love thyself. To know thyself is to know God.
Ah, yes, to know yourself is to know God.
Yes, thank everyone that came on Facebook. I really appreciate the support. Sister Z, I'll see you on Valentine's Day. Y'all don't miss Mindful Monday because Dr. Green will be in the house and she's going to have a lot to say.
All right, you're going to hear about love, yes.
Love, yes. If it moves a multitude of sin, that's all I got to say.
Absolutely.
Woo. Yes. Absolutely. So, again, thank you for joining us. And I, to all our callers out there in Blog Talk, thank you so much for listening.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalk.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God
and God's blessing.